All right, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 10, we're back in this verse here, and this section here. And we talked about a sheep in the midst of wolves, right? Now we're going to talk about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What does that mean exactly? Good question. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray you be with us now. Help us, Lord, to understand from your word all that you'd have us to. Lord, help us to feed our souls. We're hungry, Lord. We need to hear from you, not from just a preacher, Lord, but somebody that represents you, that has been filled with the Spirit of God, and, Lord, has a message from heaven, Lord, through the Word of God that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for the King James Bible. It is the Word of God, Lord, right in front of us, so we can hold it in our hands, the very words of God, the perfect, inspired, infallible book, Lord. And we pray, Father, that we would preach it according to the way you'd have us to and according to the way it was written. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. Interesting. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. The Lord has warned us, hasn't he, that we are sheep in the midst of wolves, ravening wicked wolves that will not spare us. But he sent us out with his authority. And how else could we do what God has us to do unless we had the power of God to do so and the authority to do with it? Amen. But now he gives us clear instructions. He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Isn't it interesting to note here in this verse, there are four types of animals: sheep, wolves, serpents, doves. Now, the fourth one would be considered different, wouldn't it? Because doves have wings and they fly. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? The rest of them all on the ground, but that one flies. He says, be therefore wise as serpents. What does the Lord mean when we are sheep among wolves and that we are to be wise as serpents? One says, there is a beauty in saying, which is seldom observed, the serpent is represented as prudent to excess, being full of cunning. What does the Bible say in Genesis? The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. How about it? That serpent was subtle. He was cunning also, artful, shrewd, sly, crafty, astute, as a cunning fellow, is what Webster says. They are resolved to be cunning. Let others run the hazard of being sincere. What are they? What they do is they are prudent. Serpents are prudent. They look and see what's going on. They look around them. In this sense, the purpose or final end of the person may not be illaudable, but cunning implies the use of artifice to accomplish the purpose rather than open, candid, or direct means. What does that mean? It's the art of war. That's what he's teaching us here. He is saying the serpent understands the art of war. He understands there's an art to warfare. You know, a serpent is not a charging bull, is it? Now, sometimes we need to be the charging bull. Amen. Sometimes we just go charge in and be a bull and charge in. Other times we've got to be artful. We've got to be careful. We've got to be calculating a little bit in what we do in this life. That's what a serpent is. A serpent just doesn't throw itself out there for everybody to stomp on, right? It's very careful. Very reserved and watching, all right, with its eyes. Very watch the serpent's eye. We're going to talk about that. He was telling us to be knowing, to be skillful, experienced. That's what a snake is. They have a lot of knowledge. They have skill. They have experience. We're to be well instructed. This applies to all kinds of knowledge, but generally and appropriately to the skill and dexterity of its artificers. Or the knowledge acquired by experience. You know, serpents know by experience, instinct mostly that they get, all right? But they know also by experience in what places they do not want to go. And in ways they do not want to do things, right? They're very careful. You don't usually see serpents just like out in the middle of everybody. Just kind of, no, they're not there, are they? Not usually. Why? Because they know that they'll get caught. And they also want to catch the enemy by surprise, right? You know, there is an art of warfare. And even the spiritual warfare, they're not just street preaching, but just our whole lives, our manner of life. There's an art form to our warfare. We need to be wise as serpents. Why does a serpent have wisdom? Well, they're cunning. They're cunning. Some wars in the Bible, God had them go straight through, right? Remember that? God just had them charge straight through and get the victory. Other times, like with David, he said, go around those mulberry bushes. No, go around the mulberry trees. Go around the other way and just come at them from behind. And then I'll fight your battle for you. Sometimes that's the battle the Lord has to fight. The Lord wants to fight that way. Amen. Sometimes in your life, there are some things that you need to use some wisdom in how you fight it. Right? Sometimes with your family members and your wife and your children, your home, sometimes the charging bull is not the right approach. Amen. Sometimes it's not. Now, truth is always the right approach. Amen. I'm not telling you to back off truth. What I'm saying is sometimes you need to be a little bit careful how you do things, how you deal with things. Because if you're not careful, sometimes we can promote rebellion in people by the way that we deal with them. Okay? If you provoke your children to wrath. And even trying to get them to do right, if you provoke them to wrath, sometimes you can make it worse. You can push rebellion in them. You can provoke them into rebellion. Sometimes we need to be cunning. We need to be smart. We need to be wise. Paul said being crafty, he caught the Corinthians with guile, didn't he? He said he caught them. Why? What was he doing? He was smooth. He was very calculating in what he did. And he caught them. He caught them in the guile. He caught them with guile. That's what he uses the tool. He caught them. Now, the Bible's not telling us to be a serpent, to be evil, to do evil things as serpents do, okay? And to be liars or to be deceitful. No, it's not saying, the Lord's not telling us that. He's saying, take those best attributes of warfare from that serpent and be wise. Why? Beware of men. That's what he said. Beware of men. Mm-hmm. What is it? The faculty or act of using stratagem to accomplish a purpose. That's what prudent means, a prudent man. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 15. The Bible talks about being prudent. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And then Proverbs 22, verse number 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Look at this. He's like a serpent. He looks out and he foresees the evil, right? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You know, there's a time, and this prudence is like Brother Russ talking about the underground church and everything. He's been preaching about it. He's going to preach a few more sermons to you about that here when I'm gone. But, in that, you have to be prudent. You and I, there are certain times we have to be prudent. We have to be wise. So people talk about being preppers and preparing and prepping and everything like that for different things. And all is that, well, it's being prudent. Amen. It's foreseeing. It's foreseeing evil and he hideth himself. Amen. But the simple pass on and are punished. The serpent, from the delicacy of its form, its movements are necessarily extremely agile, so that doubling itself up several times, it can spring to a considerable distance. With great swiftness, it can twine and twist itself most readily and nimbly around trees or other such bodies. It can climb, descend, or suspend itself with the utmost facility. One of these serpents feeds on small birds, which it swallows up very easily, notwithstanding the small diameter of its body. In consequence of the great distensibility of its jaws, throat, and stomach, common to it with other serpents, it conceals itself under the foliage of trees on purpose to surprise the small birds, and is said to attract them by a peculiar kind of whistling, to which the term a song has been applied. One of these over in Palestine, one of these snakes, these serpents, it was able to make this whistling kind of noise, they said. It was like a hissing type whistle, but it would attract enemies because of the sound was so different. Listen, serpents have always been an emblem of wisdom and cunning. They've always been, and that's what Christ is saying. He says, beware of men. Listen, they're going to be out there. There's people that are trying to harm you. Be wise as serpents. Be careful how you deal with things. Amen. The Egyptians used the serpent in their hieroglyphics as a symbol of wisdom. That's what they used it. Probably the thing in which Christ directed his followers to imitate the serpent was in its caution in avoiding danger. Now, there are different times in your life where that's not going to be the case, but he's talking specifically different times being wise and looking at things. And you know what? Let me tell you, what does that mean? You don't always have to go to every fight that's picked with you. Do you understand that? You don't have to show up to every fight that's been picked for you. Do you know, right? Right. Right. A few weeks before we went to Dinky Town and all these satanic temple and mages books or maggots books, whatever you want to call them, they wanted us to come on this certain day. They were having this appreciation day and all this other stuff. And they were trying to taunt us in. Well, there was a lot going on at that time. It wouldn't have been a good idea. Everybody was all everywhere. I mean, we weren't going out that week and everything else. And they were trying to, you know why? So they challenged us to a fight. Well, we don't have to show up. Amen. You don't have to show up to every fight. I think there's some on the street sometimes that I've gotten into, you know, our verbal arguments, things that, man, probably shouldn't have, probably just should have walked away. Maybe it would have been better. Amen. Probably should have went on the other side of the street. Probably would have been better. Not all the time, but sometimes. Amen. Sometimes wisdom is we walk away or go somewhere else or do something else. You know what I mean? Or somewhere else or whatever. Doesn't mean always. I'm just saying always. I mean, sometimes maybe it would be better. Because that's what the Lord said, to be wise as serpents. Amen. The serpent has subtlety in his eye, a singular sharpness of sight. Get the serpent's eye, said one preacher. Have a quick insight into the mysteries. Amen, of the gospel. Be able to share those mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mysteries in the Bible. Amen, be able to share them with others. Reveal the mystery like the scriptures do. Amen, not conceal it. But you need caution and wisdom in the midst of a world that will seek your lives. That's what he was telling them. He said, be cautious, be careful. Not every time that somebody says that they're your friend, are they your friend? You better be careful. Amen. The serpent hath a prudence and subtlety in his ear. He will not be deluded by the voice of the charmer. Right? Some serpents, they don't go for that charming. Right? And that's the Lord. Don't let flattery be used on you in this Christian life. Man, I've had people try to flatter me before, and they were looking to stick a knife in my back as soon as my defenses were down. They were looking to just shove it in my back. Yep. And they use flattery to do it. Amen. That's a good sermon and all this other stuff. And we like your preaching, but, and then they hit me up with all this other stuff. And then they try to backdoor something in, right? Seen that a few times too with it. What do they use? They use flattery to do it. That's the tool of the devil, flattery, like that. Amen. The serpent hath prudence, though, and subtlety in his ear, will not be deluded. The serpent hath the chief care to defend his head. So we to our head for error. We got to protect our head from error. Amen. What's it, when he said, be wise as serpents, he was telling them to protect their head because serpents know how to protect their head, right? You better protect your head, too. Amen. You better protect your head and not allow a bunch of garbage to be put into it. Amen. Not allow a bunch of heresy, not suffer a bunch of heretics, not suffer a bunch of false doctrine, not suffer a bunch of wickedness to be in your head, to get in your head. Don't entertain devils. Amen. Don't entertain wickedness. Watch your head. Be careful. Be watchful. Serpent knows how to protect his head. He knows if his head gets smashed, he's done. Right? He knows he's dead. So what's he do? He's very careful to protect it. The serpent is a very sharp-sighted, cunning creature and uses various arts and stratagems for its own preservation, and especially of its head, and is so far to be imitated by the followers of Christ as to make use of all proper methods to preserve themselves from the insults and rage of men and not expose themselves to unnecessary dangers. Now, when we go on the street, fortunately, that's the time we're going to be in it. We expose ourselves. We know we are. Amen. He's speaking more privately here in your day-to-day walk. When you go out to preach the gospel, when you go out, you know what you're doing out there in the open air, amen. But he's talking about while you're among your daily life, as you walk about, when you go to work, you think, be wise. Be wise. Hey, did you know something? Your coworkers don't need to know everything that you know when you first meet them. Okay? I'm not saying don't ever witness to them. I'm saying don't pour everything out to them. And don't trust them. because they will use whatever, the world will use whatever it can to stab you in the back with it. All right? That's right, every time. So you've got to be careful how much information you give to people, how much you tell them about things. I mean, man, we know a lot of things. We used to talk about a lot of things, you know, New World Order conspiracies and all kinds of stuff like that. You start telling people that are locked, they're going to think they're going to want to lock you up. Amen. They already want to lock us up. Amen. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to want to lock you up, put you somewhere, man. They think you're crazy. Look at this kid right now. What they're trying to do, right? Trying to lock him. They want to make him have a psychiatric evaluation. Why? Because he's a Christian. He believes the Bible. I warned you guys about that a few months ago. That's exactly what they were going to do. And now they're now full steam ahead. That's what they're doing. They're doing it in pockets. I've had other people email me. I can go back through my email list. There was another lady that emailed me about that and said the same thing happened to her. Yep. You be careful. And as much as in them lies, they should be careful to give no just occasion of offense. Amen. That's not the gospel occasion. That's other things. Amen. In our lives, that we live pure lives. And provoke them to use them ill and to avoid all snares and traps that are laid for them. We got to be careful, right? To avoid all snares and traps that are laid for us, because they're out there. Amen. Those snares and traps are out there, and we got to be careful. As being wise as serpents, you are to be careful how you deal with things, how you act, how you walk, how you talk. Use a little bit of wisdom. Amen. Use a little bit of wisdom. Don't tell everybody everything about your home, about your family. Don't tell everybody all that. They don't need to know. I get a kick out of that when you go to rent or get a hotel room. Well, who do you have with you and how many people do you have with you and all this stuff? None of your business. Just rent the room to me. I told that lady at hotels.com that. I was like, I ain't telling you how many people I have with me. Two people. That's who? That's it. Oh, list all the kids and all. And I'm listing nothing for you. I'm telling you nothing. Ain't none of your business. Give me the room. Be quiet. She goes, okay, I'll just do it. Never mind. I know you will, because I'm not telling you anything. I don't have to. It's ridiculous. Don't tell everybody everything. Amen. Serpents, being aware that they are hated, carefully avoid and shrink from everything that is hostile to them. In this manner, he enjoins believers to take care of their life so as not to rush heedlessly into danger and lay themselves open to any kind of injury. That means that sometimes we got to be careful, amen, in our lives, not to run full steam ahead in everything, but to be cautious, to be careful, to be a little calculating, right? To use some wisdom, use some prudence, amen. Let meekness be mixed with worry, with warring, says Nazanzian. That is maybe the meekness of wisdom. We must be neither foxes nor yet asses. Meekness many times brings on injuries. A crow will stand upon a sheep's back, pulling off wool from her side. Now, therefore, as we must labor for dove-like simplicity and be no horned beast to pelt or gore others, as for the word which it signifies, so here a serpent subtly too, that we cast not ourselves upon needless dangers. The Roman rule was neither flee nor follow. Christianity calleth us not to a weak simplicity, but allows us as much of the serpent as of the dove. Be wise to which battles you fight in this life, which ones you openly fight, and other times in stealth you fight. Right? Sometimes you don't have to fight every battle openly for everybody to see. Sometimes you need to fight more in your prayer closet than you do with your actions out. You understand? If you are fighting in dangerous spiritual warfare, if you are fighting in dangerous times, if you are exposing yourself to harm or anything like that, you better be praying more in your prayer closet in that part of the war. Because if that part of the war is neglected, then you're not using your brain. You're not using your heart. You're not using your mind, and you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not being wise. You better pray more than you do fight outwardly when it comes to that. Be wise to which battles. You don't have to show up to every fight you're invited to. The serpent doesn't do that. What does he use? The serpent uses the art of war. Man, he's careful and calculating and waits. Right? He waits. He lays back and waits for the right time to attack. The right time to present itself. That's what the Lord is saying. Be wise as serpents. Be wise in your warfare. Amen? Spurgeon said this. He said, "You must expect, if you are faithful to Christ and put forth zealous efforts, that there will be others who will put forth their strength and cunning to oppose you. It is often an awful game that we have to play for a man's soul. Each move we make is met by the devil, and unless God directs us, we shall lose that man. If we draw him to a prayer meeting, another takes him to the theater. If we set before him the truth of God, another puzzles him with skepticism. If we persuade him, others entice him in the wrong direction. The cunning of our foe is something terrible. We go forth to hunt for precious souls, but there are others who, in other sense, hunt for the precious life to destroy it. That's what the wolves do." I like what he says here. "The streets at night tell of those whom Satan hires, that he may use them as his decoys. This vicious literature scattered abroad so plentifully is another form of the nets of Satan, the great fowler who catches the sons of men in his snares. If we are not earnest, the devil is. He never sleeps. He lost his eyelids long ago. He may slumber if we dare. We may slumber if we dare, but the powers of evil will never suspend their activities. Day and night the deadly work goes on, and the wolves howl over their prey. Therefore we go forth like sheep, not among the images of wolves, but in the midst of real active wolves that are doing all they can possibly do to destroy those sheep who are yet lost, but whom Christ has nevertheless purchased with his precious blood." That's right. "But still the serpent is an exceedingly wise creature. And it had need to be, for it lives in a world where it is hated by a deadly foe. It is natural for man to hate the whole serpent tribe. The very first thing you do if you see a viper is to look for a stick to kill it. Everybody is the enemy of serpents, and if they are to exist at all, they must be very wary. In this, you should copy them." Well, it's interesting he says that, because that's true. I mean, I hate snakes, and I hate them. I just kill them. I don't like them. I don't like seeing them. Amen. And most people, they have a hate for snakes. They don't really like them that much. Some people do. Some people have them as pets. It's kind of weird, but anyway. But they do. Right? Some people have pets for snakes. I think it's strange. But I think it's really strange. But anyway, mostly people abhor them, right? They hate them. They don't want to see them around. They don't want to be around. They kill them. They try to kill them, right? That's why God gave us those gospel boots, right? To stomp on serpents. Amen. That's what they're for. But what does the serpent understand? Everybody hates me. I'm at enmity, right? So I need to stay away. I need to be careful. I need to be cautious. I can't just put myself open all the time spiritually. I've got to be careful. I've got to be wise. What does the serpent do to preserve itself? What is it which proves its wisdom? First, it gets out of the way of a man as much as it can. And our Lord meant this, for immediately after our text, he says, "But beware of men." Yep. It is well to get out of the society of ungodly men and let them see that their habits and modes of conversation are not ours. Seek to benefit them, but do not seek their society. What is he talking about? Separation. You can't live a Christian life and go and hang out with everybody from this world. It's not going to work, friend. You can't serve two masters. You're not going to be able to be wise as a serpent hanging out with a bunch of devils, are you? Hanging out with a bunch of wicked people that want to live for this world. Doing drugs and smoking dope and drinking liquor and fornicating and running around at nightclubs and listening to wicked music and everything else. You can't hang around those people. You can't hang around them. Why? Because you're to be different. You're to be separated. You have no agreement with them. No, you shouldn't. If you're more, I've met people that claim to be Christian that are more comfortable hanging out with their worldly friends at work than they are with the saints of God. And I make sure they understand full well that you're probably not a Christian. You're probably a lost sinner. Because if you love the company of the world and hate the company of the saints, there's something wrong with you. If this Christian life is boring to you, then you're lost. Or you're not at war. Because at war, you don't have time to be bored. You have time to be alert. Amen. You got to be watchful. You don't have time to be bored. Oh, I'm bored watching. No, you're not, because there's always something going on. You're not going to be bored. Spurgeon says this, "Their wolfish propensities are most seen in their leisure time, in their drinking and reveling, and therefore keep far from these. You have no business in their parties, their frivolous assemblies, their drinking bouts, and places of lascivious song. Do not accept their invitations when you know that they will be under no restraint. Do not linger near them when they are talking lewdly and profanely. Your moving away will be your most telling protest. You must be with them in your business indeed. You are sent to them, but while you are with them, you must not be of them. And you should discreetly avoid them when you know that you can do no good. Amen. Your workmen, your workmates will chafe you, and no doubt you will receive many angry responses from them, but neither provoke this treatment nor resent it in any way. Do not cast pearls before swine, and do not introduce religion to at an unseasonable times. Hold your principles very firmly. But when you know a man will only blaspheme if he hears you name the name of Jesus, do not give him the occasion. Stand up for Jesus when the time is fit. He's talking about using wisdom here. Amen. But do not exercise zeal without knowledge. Do not exercise zeal without knowledge. Amen? Be careful. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen. Too many exercising zeal without knowledge today. When a man is half drunk or in a passion, leave him to himself and thus escape many a brawl. At another opportunity, when the occasion is more favorable, then endeavor to instruct and persuade. But not when failure is certain. Be very prudent and hold your peace when silence is better than speech. Now you gotta let the Holy Ghost lead you in that, amen? That's really not for, I mean, you and I, we never know, okay? I mean, we never know 100%. We've gotta be led by God. We don't know, we can't answer for another man all the time. You know, should I have done this or should I have done that? You know what? That's between you and the Lord sometimes. I can't make that call all the time for you, and neither can you make it for me. But we do need to be careful and cautious. We use wisdom. If God shows us things plainly in front of us that's probably not a good idea to do, then maybe we shouldn't do it. Amen? Then again, the serpent is famous for finding his way where no other creature could enter. Any little space, any tiny opening will be sufficient for his purpose. His form is adapted to progress among obstacles. You may block the way to other creatures, but he will wiggle. He will wriggle in some way. So should it be with us. If we cannot get at a man's heart one way, we must try another. If you cannot induce them to read the gospel, get them to hear it. If you cannot induce them to hear a sermon, drop a verse into their ears. If a tract is refused, put a word in edgeways for your Lord and Master. There is a way into everyone's heart if you know how to find it. Be wise as serpents and discover it. Though it seems very difficult to reach some minds, yet with holy perseverance and adroitness, whatever that means, continue the attempt and you will succeed. There is a weak point in the strongest man's mind where his opposition can be wounded. Even Leviathan that laughs at the spear has a tender place where the spear's point may come at him. And so the most ungodly, wicked, blaspheming, profane infidel has some point where you may reach his better feelings. If you do but search it out, be wise as serpents in this respect. Look for an opening. Amen. For people that you live around, for people that are around you, look for an opening. Amen? There is one. God will provide one. Pray for one and look for one. Amen? Look for an opening to reach them. Look for an opening. Be wise as serpents. Amen? In this respect. You know what? We should never be charmed, though. Like the snake, the serpent cannot be charmed, right? He doesn't allow himself to be charmed. Never be charmed by popish teachers. That was another advice from Spurgeon. He said, we must stop our ears to popish teachers who teach merit, indulgences, and transubstantiation, who teach that the Pope is the head of the church. Christ is called the head of the church. For the Pope to be the head is to make the church monstrous, to have two heads. Popish teachers teach the people nonsense and blasphemy. They cause the people to pray without understanding, to obey without reason, and to believe without sense. It is a damnable religion. Therefore, worshiping the beast and drinking the cup of God's indignation are put together. Revelation 14:9. Oh, in this be wise as serpents. Stop your ears to the charming of false teachers. God has given his people this wisdom to stop the ears of heretics. A stranger will they not follow. Remember that? A stranger will they not hear, but will flee from him. Amen. We need to be wise as serpents. Be careful. Be cautious. Look ahead. Be prudent. Be wise in the decisions that you make, in the encounters that you find yourself in the partnerships you make with others, even believers. There's so many people that, you know, even for a husband or even to marry, sometimes ladies, they get themselves all messed up. Oh, it's a Christian. That's okay. No, it's not. Doesn't mean it's always okay just because somebody is saved. If they have like faith, Do they love the Lord? Do they submit to God? Do they follow Him in everything? If they don't, they're not equally yoked. You need to be prudent. You need to be wise. Obviously, a father should be taking care of those things. If we were ordered right in this world like it's supposed to be, then a father would be looking out against after those things. That's what we're training men up to do here now with your own families. That's what we expect to do. Amen? Somebody says, well, you got to go to counseling with the pastor. No, really. You need to go to counseling with the father of that bride. That's who needs to counsel you. I mean, sure, you can, the dad can come talk to me anytime he wants to. Amen. That's fine. We'll sit down and talk about everything. You can ask me what I think. Amen. I'll give you what I believe biblically and everything like that. You can ask me about any of those things. And you think this person, you know, from what you've seen, have you seen anything that startles you or anything else like that or that causes you? That's fine. That's all being wise and prudent. Amen. But you know, at the end of the day, it's your daughter. You better counsel them. You better counsel them who they're supposed to marry. And as a man comes and approaches you about that, you better be wise as a serpent. Because I'm telling you, we are in some deceptive, wicked times. And there are men that just want to come into churches and they want to steal the purity of these girls and take them right out the door. They're a bunch of wicked devils is what they are. Mm-hmm. I know, because I was one of them. That's right, such as were some of you. That's right. I was one of those guys until I got saved. Amen. That's right. But God's standards of holiness is that you be wise as a serpent. My goodness. You know what? Some people take better care of their lawn than they do their children. I see these people. You know what? I laugh about it. I know people. I'm not going to mention any names. I know people that take this. I mean, man, they water this lawn. They put all these nasty chemicals on it that are going to kill them, kill everything else. Anyway, kills the weeds and kills you. Anyway, they put all this nasty stuff on their lawn, right? I mean, and they man, it's all perfect. And then their daughter walks out half naked out of the house, or in a bikini, naked. I can't even walk in front of my front window sometimes, you know, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Shut the curtains. Right? Wait a minute. You tell me you take better. You're more concerned with your lawn than you are your child? Let your daughter get in the car with a man and take off as a teenager? Have fun. Oh, they will. Yeah, but they go to church, so they know what's right. Lots of people go to church. Lots of people go to good churches like this. Amen. Other good Baptist churches like this. But then again, their fathers, some of them know better not to do that. Amen. Don't be doing that here. I'll tell you what, when your daughters get old enough to get married, and I'll tell you what, if you're a dad and you let your daughter go run around with some guy in a car, don't think I won't say something to you, because I will. You might hate me for it, get mad at me, tell me it's none of my business and everything else. You might say that, but I'm still going to say something to you in private. Amen. Because I hope I don't love her more than you do. I hope I don't. Amen. It becomes my business if it's flaunted as sin around everybody to see. It becomes all of our business. Amen. All of us. Amen. We look out for one another. We love one another enough to tell each other the truth. If I saw something, a young man that was visiting, I was concerned about him or something like that, I would tell you personally. I wouldn't say in front of your daughter. I wouldn't say in front of the church. I'd go personally. I'd tell you. I'm a little concerned about this. And if I let it go on and I didn't say anything to you, I would hate myself. I'd never forgive myself for not telling you. So when you, well, I don't know why I'm talking about that. I don't know. It just came up. But anyway, we're to be wise as serpents when it comes to those things. Because the devil's always lurking about. Amen. He's always about. Wants to devour. So you got to be wise as a serpent. You got to be prudent. You got to foresee some things. You got to look ahead and foresee some things and be wise and try to plan some things out when it comes to that. Be wise as serpents. Use wisdom. Use cunning. Use the art of war. Just look. Amen. We're in this world. We should always understand that we are at danger. As a Christian, what did Christ say? Beware of men. Man, that's something, isn't it? He said, beware of men. Number two, we're to be harmless as doves. when preacher Thomas Watson talked about this. He said, Christians must be harmless. To be harmless as doves, the dove is an excellent creature. It is so acceptable that in the old law, God would have the dove offered in sacrifice. The Holy Spirit, when he would appear in a visible shape, assume the likeness of a dove. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16, right? Turn there. Remember this, right? Jesus at the baptism of Christ. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say he was proud of him, did he? He said he was well pleased. Amen. It's interesting. That's what you should tell your children. Not I'm proud of you, but I'm pleased with you. Amen. Don't teach them that you're proud of anything. Amen. Teach them that you're pleased with them. Right? I'm pleased with the way you did this. I'm very pleased with that. Amen. And their desire ought to be to please God and to please their parents. Amen. So you tell them, I'm very pleased with you. I'm very pleased with how you did this. Amen. All right. It's different than pride. Way different. It's biblical. Amen. It's just biblical. How should we be as doves? Well, in three respects. Number one, in the respect of meekness. Amen. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus was the meek and lowly one, right? But man, he sure did clear the temple out, didn't he? Amen. Jesus was very meek. But he still told the Pharisees that they were hypocrites. He warned them. He used very strong language, but he was still meek in that when you dealt with him, when you came to Christ, you talked to him, he was very meek. Amen. In respect of innocence. Amen. Or to be as a dove in respect to innocence. And in respect of purity. Amen. We're to be pure like the dove is. We're to be pure. Amen. Listen, God wants some pure, holy people. Amen. God expects us to be pure and holy. Don't get yourself tainted with this world. That's not worth it. This old dirty, wicked world is not worth it. Any of their attractions are not worth it. Anything they have to offer you is not worth it. It's not worth it to put spots on the garments. It's not worth it to soil your garments in this wicked world. It's not worth it at all. There's nothing it can offer you that has anything. The entertainment of this world has nothing to offer you. What does it have to offer you? Look at it. Look at it. What do they have to offer you? A man is the woman of the year. Do you understand that? A man is voted the woman of the year. I don't know how you do that. But it's Hollywood. You can do whatever you want. You just say it and it makes it so. Right? They've been doing it for years. They've been saying there's Christians in Hollywood, and I ain't seen any yet. I've been looking for them. I haven't found any of them. Kirk Cameron. Ha. Take Halloween for Christ. Dress up like devils to mock them. Okay, sure. Dress like a witch, it'll mock them. They'll really be mad at you. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of witches be mad when you flatter them. Anyway, it's ridiculous. Anyway, but God wants pure, holy people. Be holy, the Lord God said. God wants his people not to be spotted by this world, not to be tainted by it. Do you realize how white of a garment God has given you? Amen. In the Holy Ghost when he saved your soul. Amen. It's white. Amen. You're pure white, right? In God's eyes. Amen. In God's eyes, you're pure white. Now, let me ask you a question. If you are, how much of us walking through this world will taint us or put a spot on that garment? If you are made white as snow, that's what Jesus said, right? He's made you, though your sins be as crimson, what? It'll be white as snow, right? All right. So let's say we're white. How noticeable is a little spot on that, on white? It's noticeable, isn't it? Some of you guys that wear white dress shirts, you know, man, you eat chili and there's one dot on there and everybody can see it. That's why I don't wear white, I wear black. But one little dot on a tie, and you can see it. I mean, just like it's unbelievable. Andrew, are you hiding some dots over there? Did he get? Oh, right there. See? Look at Andrew. Perfect object lesson. Look. No, seriously, right on his shoulder. See that spot? That's chili. No, it isn't. What is it? His son puked on him. That's called the anointing. Right? When you're a father, you've had that many times, haven't you? That's right. Anyway, but that spot you can see, right? You can see it. It just sticks out. That's what sin does to us. Amen? We're to walk in purity and holiness. And that's what sin does. It spots us. Puts spots on us, and they don't belong there. Amen? They don't belong on you as a child of God, that sin should spot you that way. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In respect of meekness, the dove is the emblem of meekness. It is without gall. We should be as doves for meekness. We must avoid unruly anger, which is a temporary madness. We must be without the gall of bitterness and revenge. We must be of mild spirits, praying for our enemies. So did seven, right? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We've got to be careful, folks, out on the street. We've got to be careful. Not to get a vengeful spirit while we're out there. Amen? And want to take revenge on people. We've got to love our enemies. Amen. Love them. Now, that doesn't mean you back off and don't give them the truth. It just means that when they revile you, you revile not again. You don't fight. You don't rail on them when they do. Amen. You just look at them and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Be careful. I'm not saying sometimes you don't need to rebuke them, because some people are so wicked they need a rebuke. But that's a biblical rebuke, not a rail. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. We know the difference in that. We've talked about that. Right. But don't have a gall of bitterness. Don't allow it to get you bitter. Don't allow it to get you hard. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But don't become hard-hearted. Amen. Avoid unruly anger. Don't allow it to get to you. Don't allow the gall of bitterness and revenge to be in you. And pray for our enemies. We need to pray for our enemies. Amen. Man, that's tough, isn't it? We need to pray for them. This dove-like meekness is the best jewel and ornament that we can wear. The ornament of a meek spirit, right? Which is in the sight of God a great price. So the Lord said, right? And first, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. It's very difficult, isn't it? To love your enemies, but we need to. We've been commanded to. Loving them again is telling them the truth. It's not whitewashing everything and not make them think they're okay, right? But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Amen? Moses was a meek man. He was the meekest of all men of the earth, the Bible said at that time, right? But he's a strong leader still, but he was meek. Amen? Anger disfigures, said Watson. Anger disfigures. Meekness adorns. Amen. Now we should be as doves for innocence. The innocence of the dove is seen in two things. Not to deceive and not to hurt. Not to deceive. As the dove is without gall, so it is without guile. It does not deceive. Thus we should be as the dove without fraud and craft. A holy simplicity is commendable. I would have you simple concerning evil. That's what he said, right? Simple concerning evil. To be a bungler at sin, not to have the art to beguile, is a good simplicity, as Nathanael, in whose spirit there was no guile, that Jesus said. Amen. Where is the dove-like innocence to be found? We live in an age where there are more foxes than doves. Amen. People are full of guile. They study nothing but deceit, so that one knows not how to deal with them. Psalm 12:2 says, with a double heart do they speak. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you. All you have to do is be out on the street to figure this out. That with a double heart they speak. One minute they're saying, God loves everybody, Jesus loves everybody. And then the next minute they say they don't believe in hell. The next minute said, well, you're going to hell. I thought you didn't believe in hell. Well, you're going there. You're going to burn there. Right? We don't tell anybody we want them to go to hell. We tell them the opposite. We don't want you to go to hell. We don't wish that upon you, friend. We want you to be born again. We want your sins to be forgiven. Amen. But with a double heart they speak. God loves everybody. The next minute they're dropping F-bombs on us and cussing us out. Why? Because that's the spirit they have. They speak doubly, but we are not to be that way. We're not to be double-minded. Amen. We ought to have a spirit not to hurt. Amen. I like what he says here about this. He says, the dove has no horns nor talons to hurt, only wings to defend itself by flight. Other creatures are commonly well-armed. The lion has its paw, the boar its tusk, the ram its horns. But the dove is a most harmless creature. It has nothing with which to offend. Thus, we should be as the doves for harmlessness. We should not do wrong to others, but rather suffer wrong ourselves. Such a dove was Samuel. Whose ox have I taken, he said. Whose ass have I taken, he said. Or whom have I defrauded? Samuel asked and said, I've not defrauded you. What have I done to you? What have I ever taken from you? I've not done any of those things. He did not get men's estates into his hands or raise himself upon the ruins of others. How rare is it to find such doves? Surely they are flown away. How many birds of prey are there? Godly people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. These are not doves, but vultures. They travail with mischief and are in pain until they bring forth. Amen. Don't be a vulture, be a dove. Amen. That's why he says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And our goal is to be harmless. Now the gospel harms enough them. Like they don't understand it, okay? But we're talking about as us. People have asked, they try to get you like that kid, you gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? He said to me the other day. I said, no, I don't want to hit you. I don't have any desire to hit you. He just kept saying it over, you gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? And then he'd do this weird thing with his mouth, you gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? Go ahead, pagan, hit me. Go ahead, pagan. I said, I'm not a pagan. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. What are you talking about? He's like, you gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? He kept getting in my face, and then he slapped me like three times, like this. Gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? You gonna hit me? No, I'm not gonna hit you. I don't have any desire to hit you. Let's try it. I don't want to hurt you. You need to be saved. Instructing those that oppose themselves, right? In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Amen? That's what they're doing. They're opposing themselves. We should be as doves for purity. The dove is the emblem of purity. It loves the purest air. It feeds on pure grain. The raven feeds on the carcasses, but the dove feeds on pure. Right? Thus let us be as doves for sanctity, cleansing ourselves from all pollution, both of the flesh and of the spirit. Amen. Of the flesh and of the spirit. That's an interesting text right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. I preached on that a few years ago. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleansing ourselves. Amen. Solomon 5:2, he called it my dove, my undefiled one. Remember that? Let us keep pure. Keep yourself pure, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, the principle is stated there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And let's see. 2 Timothy. There we go. Verse number 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, need to be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Amen. Keep thyself pure. Better have a rent in the flesh than a hell in the conscience. The dove is a chaste, pure creature. Let us be doves for purity. To be wise and innocent consists in this. To be sensible of an injury, yet not to revenge it. A Christian is not a stoic, nor yet in fury. He is so wise that he knows when injury is done to him, but so holy that he knows how to pass it by. This is the most excellent temper of soul. A godly Christian has so much wisdom as to discern his enemy's malice, but so much grace as to conquer his own malice. He knows it is the glory of a man to pass by a transgression. Though a Christian has so much prudence as to vindicate himself, yet he has so much goodness as not to avenge himself. Behold, here the serpent and the dove united together, amen, in innocence. That's how it works. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You need both, amen. We're not to devour people like the serpent does. That's not the traits. No, we're supposed to be as harmless as doves. A serpent's very dangerous, but he didn't say be dangerous like a serpent, did he? No, he said be wise. Have the wisdom of a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. Amen? The prudence of the serpent and innocence of the dove is seen in this, to reprove the sin, yet love the person. We are commanded to reprove. Do not hate your brother. Amen. Hate not your brother in his heart, right? In your heart, right? But now thou shalt in any wise, what? Reprove him. Amen. Leviticus 19:17. I didn't quote that exactly, but that's what it says in Leviticus 19:17. You're not to hate your brother in your heart. But in any wise, you're to rebuke him. What does that mean? That means that I love them. I'm wise as a serpent to rebuke them, but I'm harmless as a dove to hate them. I don't hate them because they're in sin. Amen. Rebuke your neighbor so you will not share in his guilt. Not to reprove sin is to approve it. Remember that? Not to reprove sin is to approve it. Amen. Think about that. But this sword of reproof is a dangerous weapon. If it is not well handled, to reprove is a dangerous weapon. To reprove and yet love is to act both the serpent and the dove. Prudence and holiness is seen in this. To know what we should do and do what we know. To know what we should do is the wisdom of the serpent, and to do what we know is the innocence of the dove. Amen. To do it, to be wise, to know to do it, and to fulfill it is to be harmless as a dove. To understand worldly affairs is the wisdom of the serpent, yet to not neglect the soul is the innocence of the dove. And God has said, 6 days shall you labor. Religion never granted a patent to idleness. Did you know that God didn't save you? He said, well, it's okay for you to be idle and not do anything. Well, you're saved now, so sit in a room and just read your Bible all day. Don't do anything else. No. That's right. Wait on the Lord. That's right. But we are to be serving. Amen. As a waiter. A waiter serves, right? Amen. A waiter serves. We're to be waiting on the Lord, serving God. To join the serpent and the dove, prudence and innocence consists of this. To know how to give counsel and how to keep counsel. He has the wisdom of the serpent. If he can give counsel, he knows how to advise another in difficult cases and speak a word in due season. Every word Ahithophel spoke seemed to be as wise as though it had come directly from the mouth of God. The serpent and the dove, wisdom and innocence, is to be moderate yet zealous. Moderation is good in some cases. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation is good in cases of anger, when the passions are up. Moderation sits as a queen and governs in the soul. It allies the heat of passion. Moderation is the bridle of anger. Moderation is not good in drinking liquor. So the Lutherans tell you, moderation in everything, so drink some booze, but only do it moderately. No, that's not what the Bible says. Yeah, a little bit of leprosy. It won't hurt a thing. Moderation is good in cases of disputes. If there is a dispute in law between us and others, we are not to take the extremity of the law, but use Christian equity and mildness. Nay, for peace's sake, rather, part with some of our rights than oppress others. This much honors. He's talking about lawsuits. You know, Christian going to Christian to the law and being like, I'm going to sue you for money. I'm going to make money off you. You know, the Bible says there's a way to handle that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If both submit to the local church, then they'll be fine. They'll be able to work it out. Amen. To unite the serpent and the dove consists in this. When we defend the truth by argument and adorn it by life. When you defend the truth by argument and then you live it in your life. Defending the truth is the serpent's wisdom. An intelligent Christian can convince gainsayers. This wisdom of the serpent was eminent in Stephen. None of them was able to stand against the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spoke. They couldn't resist him, man. He just gave everything. I mean, they couldn't even stand up to him. Listen to this. That's why they had to stone him. Man, we can't get what he said. We can't prove him wrong, so we're going to kill him. By the way, that's what they try to drown you out on the street, because they can't prove you wrong. So they just have to try to stop you. They have to interrupt you. He says this, there are some who can dispute for the truth, but disgrace it by their bad living. You know, there are some people that are very good speaking. They can speak the truth to you. They can even, they're good at even apologetics or whatever you want to call it. They're good at defending. They can do, but you know what? Their lives don't live it. They're not living it. You know, I mean, right. Right. They had a zeal, but what do they end up doing with it? Not according to knowledge. And they don't live it in their lives. They can explain to you the Bible. They can explain to you many things. But are they living holy, separated lives in the God? Are they good to their family? Are they taking care of their family, their children, their responsibilities, and their wife, and having a good relationship with her and everything else? Are they living separated from the world and unspotted? No, they're not. They're not consistent. So then what happens? It's a disgrace. They disgrace the truth by their bad living. This is back to both the serpent and the dove when we not only plead for the truth, but walk in the truth. It was said of one man that of whom it was said that he had thunder in his doctrine and lightning in his life. Amen? He had thunder in his doctrine and lightning in his life. What did that mean? He followed God. It wasn't just something that he textbook read about from the Word of God, but he taught it, he preached it, and he lived it in his life. We got to do that, friend. I'll give you an example of that this week here. I had a decision to make. You know, I was going to sell my van, and I was going to buy another van, right? And I was looking around for a good deal for that, and get the right one and everything. I found the one I wanted. I didn't say the one I needed, I said the one I wanted. I found it. Looked like a pretty good deal. In fact, that person didn't want to give me what I wanted for a trade. I sold my van. I had my van sold Friday after it wasn't even on 24 hours. I had my van already sold. Cash. This guy brought cash to my house. He brought like $12,000 cash, and he brought it. And he had another check. Man, he was ready to buy. He knew he had a good deal. It was a good deal. Too good. So I'm glad I didn't sell it. Anyway, but it was too good of a deal. Anyway, but. That wasn't, but you know what? The Lord, I started thinking about it and looking at everything, looking at what it would cost me, you know, to do this, looking at what I had, looking at what it would cost me to replace what I had in order to buy something new and different that kind of wanted. That I think would be more practical for us as well as a family and everything, and for the ministry. But the price was outrageous. It was actually a better price than what they were selling them for anywhere in the country for that particular model and everything else. So it wasn't that it wasn't sought, that I didn't search it out and do everything. But you know what it was? It was like, wait a minute. Do I really want to take on that kind of debt? I had to think about this. I had to think about, well, I know it would work out. It'd be a better vehicle for my family and everything. It'd be better for this and a few other things. But it doesn't sit right with me. I don't feel right about it. I don't feel right about getting myself in that kind of debt. I don't think it's right. And then I thought about, well, as a preacher as well, you got to be an example to people. And I don't want to get it myself. And really, I could afford it. I mean, I could do it. Okay. But did I need to? Was it prudent to do it? Was it right to do it? Right. Lawful, but not. It was lawful, but was it expedient? Was it right to do? Would it be wise to do it? And I started looking at what I pay now, which is really low. And then I started looking at what I would be paying, which was really high. And then I started looking at what I have and how good a shape it's in and everything else like that. And I was like, I don't think the Lord wants me to do this. I'm not settled with it. If one of you asked me if you should do the same thing, I would say no. If one of you would have come to me and you would ask me if you should do something like this, I would say no. Well, if I would tell you no, then I sure better tell myself no. Amen? And if I'm going to be an example, if I'm going to live what I preach and believe what I preach and to be careful and cautious and look at and be prudent and be wise about what I do, then maybe I should just not do this. I can do it. Hey, I even had a great interest rate. It was 2.19%. It's pretty cheap. I don't know if you know about interest rates, any of you out there, but if you look at it, I mean, that's cheap. That's like dirt cheap. 2.19. I mean, that's like you can't get that anywhere hardly. And man, boom, here you go, 2.19%. You can get whatever you want. Sure, no problem. You're approved for it. You got great credit. No problem. And I do. The Lord's blessed me. I've cleaned that all up over the years from before I was saved. And the Lord really. But I was like, you know, this don't seem right. You'd be wise as serpents. Amen. What would this do? What if I did do this? Would that put, you know, right now I'm fine. My family has 29,000 miles on it. I started looking at all these things thinking, you know, why would I do this? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till 2017, till the 2017s come out, and then I'll look at a 2015 then, right? Because then that'll be 2 years' time. Prices will have dropped it up a few miles on it, and then you could save quite a bit of money, $15,000 or something like that. That would be a better time to do it. You know? I started looking at it. I was like, you know, this is not a good idea. So I backed out of it. Why? Because I want to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I don't want to lead somebody else astray. Man, think about that. I don't pay full price for anything, really, like that. When I buy stuff like that, I always pay after somebody who takes the hit for me, usually. Just like my van that I bought here. Somebody took the hit already on that van. Amen. They took it already. They took a huge hit on it, and I got it for a lot less. By the way, it's still worth what I paid for it right now. That van is worth what I paid for it right now. It still is. But anyway, so, you know, I have to live it too. Amen. I don't just talk about it. I have to live it. Amen. And we have to in our lives. Don't just talk about it. Be wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Put what you learn from as being wise, put it in effect in your life as a dove and be harmless as doves and live it in your life. Amen. That's what God is telling us. That's what he's telling us to be wise. He's saying that you are a sheep in the midst of wolves. Remember that. Don't forget that. Always remember that. Therefore, be wise as serpents. Use wisdom. Use prudence. Look ahead, foresee the evil. Be careful, know your surroundings. Know what you're involved in, know who your enemies are. Understand your enemies. Amen? Pray for your enemies. Understand and know who your enemy is. Reveal the truth about them, but also pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Amen? Be wise to who they are, but don't hate in your heart like they do. Don't have that type of hatred. The world's hatred. Don't have that in your heart towards these people. But love your enemies. Feed them, clothe them, whatever. Amen? That's being harmless as a dove. A serpent wouldn't do that to its enemy. What would a serpent do to its enemy? Eat it. Devour it. What's that? Choke them out. That's right. What's that? Fold them up. That's right. You fold them up. I'm going to fold you up, fool. Anyway, these poor wives, they look at us like, you guys are nuts. They come back and hear all these stories. They got to think, man, you guys sound like you have a lot more fun out there than what you let on. We do have a lot of fun. It's like getting away. It's like a crazy psychotic vacation or something. It's like... It's like our field trip for the week when we all get together. It's like, ooh, no women around, yay! It's a joke. Because we act, you know, like guys. So anyway, it's funny. It is kind of funny. But anyway, but be wise as serpents, amen, harmless as doves. Know your enemy, but love your enemies. That's the difference. Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that spitefully use you, amen, and persecute you. We've got to pray for them. We've got to reach them still, amen. And that's tough. Amen. It's tough. So just remember that balance. That's why he's telling us to be balanced. All right. Yeah, you are sheep in the midst of wolves. Beware of men. You are, man. You're in danger. But you be wise as a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. Don't take on the world's way of dealing things. You know, get it out of your mind and heart to exact revenge on those that hate the gospel when we're out there. No, pray for them. No, I don't want to hit you. I don't want to hit you. No, I don't want to do that. I feel bad for you. You're so deceived by the devil. I don't want to hit you. I want you to be saved. I'm not here to hit you. I'm here to preach to you. You might want to hit me because I preach to you, but that ain't nothing new. Right? Father, Lord, thank you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go and keep us safe, Lord. I pray for each and every person here. Pray for Brother Finney, Lord, as well, and pray for Russ and Candy and the family, Lord, and also pray for Brother Ryan and his family, Lord. Please be with them, bless them, Lord, and to bring us all back safely here on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.